Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace, mercy, blessings on your morning and your afternoon and your evening. We're currently listening to this wonderful story of the daughter of the Prophet, alayhi salam, as she moves through her life, which is a fairly short life compared to Aisha. Lady Fatima, the blooming rose. May Allah be pleased with her. We're currently on page 121 in the first major paragraph. And we've recently seen how she moved out of the house of the Prophet and came to live with Ali after her father, alayhi salam, married Aisha, and she saw that he was in good hands. Well, actually, she has not moved in with Ali quite yet. We're getting into that story. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin rahmanirrahim. Maliki yawm din yak na'budu yak nasta'in. اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So we're currently hearing about the story of Ali رضي الله عنه. His close friends knew how he felt and kept encouraging him to ask for her hand, reminding him that his closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his special place in his heart, as well as the special place his parents had in the Prophet's heart, would make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accept him. His father was Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle and supporter, and his mother Fatima, the daughter of Asad ibn Hashim ibn Abd Manaf, was the first Hashimiyya to give birth to a Hashimi. Still, Ali hopelessly wondered, how can I ask for her hand after both Abu Bakr and Umar have been turned down? His friends argued with him, why not? By Allah, there is no one among the Muslims, including Abu Bakr and Umar ibn al-Khattab, who is as close to the Messenger of Allah as you are. Your father fostered him, and your mother took care of him when he was young. Then you grew up in his house, and you were the first youth to accept the message of Islam. Ali was finally encouraged, and one day he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, greeted him. He sat shyly close to him and kept silent. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could feel that his cousin and friend had come to talk to him about a serious matter that he was too shy to talk about, and he wanted to encourage him to talk, so he gently asked him, what does the son of Abu Talib need? Lowering his gaze, Ali answered in low voice, I'm thinking about Fatima, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, understood the good news and he gently responded, welcome, welcome. In another narration of the story, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was quoted saying, she is for you. But in either case, he kept silent after that and felt shy. When the silence went on for a long time, he did not know what to say, so he left, and he was worried and perplexed about the Prophet's response. His family and friends were waiting anxiously for him, but he didn't know what to tell them, except that he mentioned the matter to the Prophet, who only responded by saying, welcome, welcome. Well, they were happy to hear that and assured him that even one welcome is enough indication of the Prophet's acceptance. Ali left feeling hope And the next day he went and stood close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said in a clear voice, "I would like to ask for Fatima's hand from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." "By Allah, I have nothing worthy to offer as a dowry, but I have remembered my close relationship with you and was finally encouraged to ask." The father of Az-Zahra turned to him and gently asked him, Do you not have anything to offer?" Ali answered, "O Messenger of Allah, no, I have nothing. But the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remembered that Ali had earned a shield in the Battle of Badr. So he asked him, "Where is the shield that I gave you on the day of Badr?" And Ali was overwhelmed by the Prophet's gentleness and thoughtfulness. And he answered, "O Messenger of Allah, it's still with me." And the Prophet said, "Bring it to me." Ali went and returned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the shield. The Prophet looked at it and asked Ali to sell it in order to afford the marriage arrangement. Uthman ibn Affan bought the shield for 470 dirhams. Ali brought the money to the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who took it with his noble hand and gave it to Bilal. He asked Bilal to buy some perfumes and give the rest of the money to Salama to buy some furniture for the couple to be wed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited all of his friends and announced his daughter's marriage to Ali ibn Abu Talib, and that her dowry was 400 silver coins. He offered a plate of dates to his friends as a gesture of celebration. It is in this simple way that the engagement of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah took place. It is in this humble way that the most important marriage in the history of Islam took place, in the month of Rajab, after the Prophet's migration to Al-Madinah and Al-Munawwara. Ali rented a house that was humbly furnished. Ali invited people in the wedding party for a humble dinner. He traded his other shield with a Jew for some barley to cook for dinner. Abdul Muttalib's family was overjoyed with the marriage, and Hamza, the Prophet's uncle, slaughtered two sheep to add to the dinner. And after all the guests ate and left, the chosen one asked Salama to accompany the bride to Ali's house and to wait there. Bilal called the night prayer, and after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed with all the Muslims in the mosque, he walked to Ali's house. He asked for a pot of water. He recited some of the wise verses of the noble Quran over the water. And then he asked the newlywed couple to drink some of the water. He performed ablution with the rest of the water and then sprinkled it on their heads, saying, "O please Allah, bestow your blessings within them and bestow your blessings upon them and bestow your blessings on their offspring." In another narration of the story, he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said to Fatima, "O Fatima, I can now rest because I have just wed you to the best in my family." Fatima could not hold her tears, so her father did not leave right away. He comforted her and assured her that he had put her under the care of the strongest in faith, the most knowledgeable, the one with the best ethics, and the loftiest of souls. Indeed, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, Khadijah's spirit was still there with the bride on her first night of marriage, circulating around her, lightening her worries about being separated from her father and his physical presence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the Prophet's prayer on this happy occasion, and this marriage became the most blessed one that bore the fruits of the chosen one's offspring. My lady Azara, the blooming rose, was 18 when she started her new life. She had a difficult life of poverty without a luxurious house or furniture. We learn from reading her biography that she had rough pillows, 2 stone handmills, 2 water skins, 2 pots, and some perfume. Her husband, Ali, may Allah honor his face, was so poor that he could not hire someone to help Fatima with the rough housework she had to do. Ali would try to help her, seeing her tired and working hard, but his duties and work did not allow him to help as much as he wanted. 5 years after the siege, Fatima was still feeling the impact on her body, especially after the difficult trip of migration. Ali was also exhausted from his work and duty, so that one day he said to her, "O Fatima, you exhaust yourself to the degree that hurts my heart. Go and ask for a servant to help you." Putting her handmill away, she answered him, "I will, if Allah wills." After an hour of rest, she got up and wrapped her veil around her and slowly walked to her father's house. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her, he asked, "Oh, my little daughter, what's wrong?" She said, "I've just come to see you." And her shyness prevented her from asking what she had come for. She returned to her home and told her husband that she felt embarrassed to ask her father to help. Ali took her hand and accompanied her back to the Prophet's house and asked on her behalf, while Fatima lowered her gaze. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, "No, by Allah, I cannot give what you ask for and leave the poor people of As-Safa with their stomachs aching from starving, because I cannot find money to spend on them. I would rather sell what I have to be able to spend money on them." Ali and Fatima thanked him for listening and they left. Their complaint touched the merciful father's heart and busied his thoughts. It was a severely cold night when Ali and Fatima laid on their rough bed, unable to sleep because they were extremely cold. They tucked in closely, and whenever they tried to cover their upper bodies, their legs would be exposed. And if they tried to cover their upper bodies, their legs, their upper bodies would be exposed. There was a knock on the door, and they found the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, coming toward them. They were about to stand to welcome him, but he waved to them, saying, "Stay where you are." Then he gently said, "Should I give you something better than what you asked for?" They both answered, "Oh yes, Messenger of Allah." He said, "These are words that were taught to me by Jibril alayhi wasalam. After each prayer, praise Allah 10 times with Subhanallah. Thank Him 10 times, Alhamdulillah. And glorify Him 10 times, Allahu Akbar. And when you go to bed, praise Allah 33 times. Thank Him 33 times. Glorify Him 33 times. He left after providing them with this great godly provision. And after he taught them an exercise for spiritual practice which can overcome difficulties and lighten tiredness, Ali listened to the advice, and even after one third of a century had passed, he remembered the Prophet's words. He said, "By Allah, I never abandoned this practice after he taught it to me." And the practice is, again, after each prayer, praise Allah 10 times with Subhanallah, thank him with Alhamdulillah 10 times, glorify him 10 times with Allahu Akbar. And when you go to your bed, praise Allah 33 times, thank him 33 times, and glorify him 33 times. That brings us to page 125, where we'll... I think there's one more reading till we come to the close of this chapter. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.